Come out of the world, oh my people.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instructions of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show with your host, Paul Neeson.
Hello everybody, this is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for joining me today. I want to talk a little bit about the Bible and the gospel and what we need to be doing as believers out there. The name of my ministry is Torah Life Ministries, and Torah is the first five books of the Bible. Many people think Torah is a Jewish word, but it's not a Jewish word. The Torah is a biblical word, and it's a Bible word. And what it means is guidelines and instructions. Many people mistakenly think it means the law. And that's what I want to clarify up today. I want to clarify what the law is and what the difference is between the Torah and the law. And in essence, you could say there are two Torahs. There are two different types of Torahs when it comes to Scripture. So we're going to be covering that today and discussing that here today on the show. So in a renewed covenant or in a New Testament, many people say that the law was nailed to the cross. Or Yeshua, the one they called Jesus, came to do away with the law. Well, what law did he come to do away with? He came to do away with the man-made law, or the man-made guidelines and instructions, or the man-made traditions that man wanted to keep the power from, and so they wanted to create these different things. But our Creator has given us the guidelines and instructions in the Scriptures, known in the first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis, and then going all the way through to Deuteronomy. And those first five books of the Bible is where all the foundation of Scripture lays. And if you are a believer, and if you understand the first five books of the Bible, you're going to understand what Yeshua, our Messiah, was speaking about, and what the Apostle Paul was speaking about in the Renewed Covenant. Now, if you do not understand or have a good foundation of the Torah, you're not going to understand or have a good foundational relationship with our Creator, Yeshua, Messiah. So it's really important that we get to understand and know the difference. What we have out in the world today is a system of Judaism and a system of Christianity, and then we have the Bible. I'll say it again. We have a system of Judaism, a system of Christianity, and then we have the Bible. And what the system of Judaism and Christianity should be teaching is the Bible. But the reality is that they're not teaching the Bible. They're teaching a man-made doctrine that kind of mixes all of the different cultures and religions around the world to try to take what they feel is the best of the best and leave out what they don't think is the best. And based on man's opinion, they're even mixing now Islam with Christianity and calling it Chrislam. And that's what is being promoted out there in the world today. But the sad part is that's what's being promoted in the churches today. In the actual churches, this thing called Chrislam is being promoted. And many people are falling for it. And somebody might say, well, that's not in my church. They're not teaching something like that. Well, you'd be very deceived once you realize, or very surprised once you realize, and you matched up your Bible to the Bible that's being preached, and the Bible that's the message that's being preached, and also the message that's in Chrislam, or the message of the idea of Chrislam, or just bringing all these other things together. So the reason why it's important to understand and learn and know what the truth is and what the Bible is saying is because the Bible is our lesson, is our guide where we learn. You see, every single person deserves to die. We all deserve to be death based on our own actions. We're all guilty of sin. We're all guilty of the worst crimes known to man. And what our Creator calls an abomination. We're all guilty. And we all deserve to be on death row. Every single one of us. So for one of us to say that person is worse than that person, no, we're basing that on the morality of what's right or good or bad in the world today. But when we look at what's right or good or bad according to our Creator in the Bible, that's a whole nother story. I'll give you a quick example here. We're quick to condemn as believers or Christians are quick to condemn things like homosexuality and abortion and other things which our Creator calls murder and an abomination. And so these things, which they very well are, and they are bad, evil, wicked things according to the word of our Creator. But man today says that those things are okay. There's nothing wrong with those things. In my Bible, it says Woe to those that call evil good and good evil. And it says it in the original covenant and also the renewed covenant, the Old and the New Testament. So we have to really consider about what the Word says and not what the morality of this world says or what the system of the world says. We got to think about what the Bible says. And then when we realize what the Bible is saying, we got to decide which way do we want to live. Do we want to be in the mixing pot of the world and follow something like Chrislam? Or do we really want to understand and confess that Yeshua, the one they call Jesus, is truly the Messiah and the only Savior, the only way to be saved, and follow Him, and fully, not half, no loopholes around. And, you know, this is really, it's a powerful message. You know, it comes down to this. It comes down to good news and bad news. And the good news is that Yahweh is real and God is real. And the bad news is, Yahweh is real and God is real. So it all depends on what side of the fence you decide to live your life on to determine if that is a good thing or a bad thing. You know, it says in Proverbs 14:12 and in Proverbs 16:25, there's a way before each person that seems right, but ends in death. So this is a serious, serious thing. Because when it says in the Bible, know the truth and the truth shall set you free in John 8:32, what is truth? And whose truth is it? Is it truth according to the world or is truth according to our Creator? And do those match up or not match up? Well, when we look at the idea of morality of the world, everyone does what thinks right in their own eyes. And as long as it's right in their own eyes, they go along saying, well, this isn't hurting anyone or it's right in our own eyes. But when we look at the scriptures, it's a whole other situation. So what's the final goal here? What's the reason for believers to accept Yeshua, the Messiah? What is the goal? And why do we proclaim Yeshua? And why do we deny our flesh and submit to living a life according to His guidelines and His instructions? And it's not a difficult question. It's not something that we need to be confused by, because the Bible is very clear on it. We all have a higher goal, and that is building, not storing our treasures here on earth, but storing them up in heaven. We're only here for a very short time, folks, when you look at the essence of time and eternity. But after here, we're somewhere else. And depending the choice you make while we're here is going to determine where you're going to spend the rest of your life. And the scriptures are very clear of those decisions we need to make while we're here. And the great thing is every single person has an opportunity to spend eternity with our Creator. But it's not just about saying a couple of words. It's about an action that must take place. We must follow exclusively. Do we know what the word exclusively means? It means one and no other. We must exclusively follow the Messiah, Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. That is the only guaranteed way we'll even have a chance of getting into the so-called kingdom, according to the word of our Creator. Now, the words of the world today say, no, there's many different paths that lead to the same place. There's many ways that'll get you the same goal. But that's not what the word of our Creator says. And I don't want to lean on my own understanding. I want to lean on His understanding, because my flesh is weak and my heart is evil. And I'm a sinner. But the words of our Creator are true. And the Rahadat Kodesh will set us free from the evil that we want to commit. And set us free, and as we repent, the Bible says repentance brings refreshing, hallelujah. But we need to read the Word and understand the world, and we need to understand the heart of our Creator. He says in Ezekiel 33:11, I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. So He says He takes no pleasure in the death of wicked people. So if you reverse that, read that backwards, basically wicked people are going to die. Now you might read it and say, well, everyone's going to die. Well, very true, but they're not talking about a physical death here. They're talking about a spiritual death. He takes no pleasure in when wicked people choose to continue wickedness. And what is wicked according to the scripture? It is planning evil. What is evil? It's living against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. That is what sin is according to the Bible. And who plans to live according to against the Bible and against the words of our instructions? Well, let's think about this for a second. What is evil? So evil is living against Torah. What does the guidelines and instructions of our Creator, the Torah, say we should be doing in terms of planning our lives ahead of us? It says, well, when we were set free, He gave us a book. He gave us a book of instructions of how to live our life, His goal for us, His will for us. And in that book, it says what we are to do. And it says there are, for example, appointments we must have every year. called holy days. These are appointments. We must stop everything and observe the holy days according to Scripture. So what does man do? And what does the system of Christianity teach? They teach we don't need to follow the appointments that our Creator tells us we should follow. But no, instead, we should plan a whole year in advance to do wickedness and follow wicked pagan days. Wicked pagan days. And unknowingly, and some knowingly, even more sad, those people that call themselves Christian or decide to follow the system of Christianity plan wickedness. And again, Ezekiel 33:11 says, wicked people will die. And they're talking about the spiritual death. Our Creator wants us to turn from that because He takes no pleasure in that. He says, know the plans I have for you. They are for good and not disaster, to give you a future and give you a hope. In Jeremiah 29:11. But we must make the right choice. Here's what it comes down to. Here's what it comes down to, folks. The flesh or the Messiah. Who do you want to follow? Do you want to follow your flesh, which is the camp of Satan, or do you want to follow the Messiah, which is the camp of Yahweh? And it's the only way. In John, it says Yeshua is the only way to the Father, and we have to realize that. So let's look at the flesh and the world's ways. Fornicators. It says, will not get in the kingdom, or will inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators. So let's look at fornicators a second, because I know a lot of people condemning homosexuality in a church today, but when is the last time you heard a church say, well, a fornicator can't preach, or a fornicator shouldn't be allowed in a church? You know, I mean, they'll condemn, they'll say, well, I don't want to bake a cake for somebody who's gay. But they don't ask somebody who's straight but not married and fornicating if you want me to bake you a cake or not. They don't condemn that. But the Bible says fornicators will not get in to inherit the kingdom of God. Idolaters. You know, people using and making idols, which people are doing all over the place today. So many idols people have will not get in. This is the word of our Creator, folks. This is the renewed covenant, to top it all off, in 1 Corinthians. It says adulterers. Well, adulterers is the morality of the world today will be in agreement with adulterers. They'll say, well, we can't commit adultery. It's a bad thing. But, you know, that's changed. Let me take that back, because that's changed. The reality of the world today is, well, if we commit adultery, there's no harm because we could just go to a court and sign a paper, and divorce is no longer a serious thing now. It's just something that's just signing a piece of paper, so we can get out of it. So if we commit adultery, the only consequence is we might have to pay a lawyer a little bit of money to get out of a marriage because it's so common today, normal to get a divorce. So adultery, well, I might have committed adultery, but I'm going to stop. Instead of stop committing adultery, I am going to divorce my spouse, and now I'm going to become a fornicator instead of an adulteress. But there's no escape. Fornication and adultery are both, no, not allowed according to the system of our Creator. Homosexuality and sodomites, one and the same. Homosexuality and sodomites. No, not allowed according to our Creator. The morality of the world today, oh, sure, it's okay. If they're not bothering us, don't bother anyone. We need our rights. No, not according to the Bible, not according to our Creator. Will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, here's what we need to realize and really be careful with. Because it's, we read these things and you might be hearing this saying, well, good, you're not an adulteress, you're not a fornicator. You're not a homosexual, so you're safe, you might think. Well, what else does the Bible say about not inheriting the kingdom of our Creator? And this is for us to think about. It says, thieves. Okay, they're not just talking about somebody who's a major thief in the world today. It says thieves. It just says thieves, people stealing stuff. Okay, what else? Covetousness, people coveting stuff. I know Christians and the people that follow the system of Christianity that love to covet stuff. What does it say? Drunkards. Drunkards has been probably the number one thing that's accepted in the church today that shouldn't be accepted. People not even turning an eye at people getting drunk or dealing with alcohol or whatever. Now people say, well, we could drink, we just can't get drunk. Do you know how ridiculous that is? That's like saying, well, the one thing that's going to lead us to something that's not going to get us in the kingdom, we're just going to tempt people with it. We're just going to have it around and tell people not to use it in excess. That's insane. That's just, it doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make any sense. What's allowed today in the morality of the world. How in the world will you say, well, you know, drunkenness is going to keep us out of the kingdom. It's really bad in our Creator's eyes, but we'll let you drink in the church, or we'll let you drink at a church barbecue, but just don't drink too much. Now, you may overcross it, but the consequence, oh, we'll deal with that when it happens. Why instead not get rid of alcohol from the church completely if it's going to lead to such a grave thing? Reviving people, getting things stirred up. Guess what gossip leads to? It leads just to that. Extortioners. The world's full of people today. Probably the church is full of the whole system of the church today is full of that. Will not inherit the kingdom of the God. What else does it say? It also says in Matthew 5:28, lustful people. Lustful people. People that are lusting. Well, in essence, they are covetous. They're doing covetous. Then we have liars. Liars. People that are lying will not inherit the kingdom. And then hateful people. People that are hating won't inherit the kingdom of the God. This is what the word of our Creator says. And this is why it's so important to know what is right or wrong with our Creator. But that's just the renewed covenant, folks. There's so much more information in the Bible. And you know, there's over 613 commandments that our Creator gives us and tells us. And some of them are have minor consequences, but some of them have the consequence of death. Now, I would think death is something I'd want to avoid. So if the Bible said, don't do this or you will die, I would think that's something people would want to say, well, I got to teach this to my children. Because not only do I want to die, I don't want my children to die either. The Bible says in several places, if you do this, there'll be a minor consequence. If you do this, there'll be minor circumstances. But when the Bible says something like, don't do this or you will die, or don't do this, you will not inherit the kingdom of God, is not that what we want to be teaching our children? Is not that what we want to be set an example doing? Well, apparently the system of the church today, or the system of Christianity, is not concerned with the consequences. They're concerned with tickling ears and getting more people to tithe their money than they are telling the people how serious these things are. They're serving alcohol, which leads to drunkenness. I'm not saying everyone who drinks is getting drunk, but why have such a poison around that could lead people out of the kingdom of God? They're just full of hypocrisy in many of the different things they're doing. But really, if the Bible says, don't do this, it leads to death. And nowhere in the whole Bible did it say, well, that's changed now. Even though Yeshua came to take away the penalty of death, you know, we still shouldn't be doing those things. You know, but people aren't getting it. Yeshua's death and resurrection not was an excuse for us to live in sin. That's what people need to understand. And they have to stop using it as an excuse to live in sin. So we need to look at the Bible and what it says about these things. I know a Christian man, he's in his 80s, and he said to me, if you think we can keep all 10 of the commandments, or the first 10 commandments, you're gravely wrong. And I've never been to a church that says we could keep all 10 commandments, because you know we're not perfect. And my reply to such foolishness is, there's over 613 commandments in the Bible. And if you can't keep at least 10 of them, you need to check yourself if you're going to call yourself a follower of Yeshua. What percentage is 10 of 613? And this is I guess they don't know math. Because why can't we keep 10 out of 613? Why? And then when we look at the other ones, the keeping the appointments of our, if we could work so hard and save our money for a pagan day every year, why can't we work just as hard for a holy day? And on a weekly basis, people break the deathable commandments of not doing work on the Sabbath and so on. It just bewilders me how people could just be so naive, and then they could realize the consequences of what the Bible is truly saying and still completely ignore them. So we need to get this right, and we need to understand. The first thing we need to do is know what sin is. Sin is transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. It's knowing what they are and transgressing them. Now, we're all sinners, folks. We're all sinners, but here's the difference. Do you love sin or you hate sin? Do you make a practice out of sin, or do you want to run from sin? That's why the Bible says, even before accepting Yeshua as Messiah, to repent. Repent and accept Yeshua. So repentance comes first. Repent means to change your ways. So if you become a believer and you're going to accept Yeshua, something must change. Something must change. Your heart. There's no way you can accept Yeshua and your heart is the same way that it was before you accepted him. Now you are to love the things that he loves and hate the things that your flesh once loved. You might still struggle with those things. I'm not saying you're not going to struggle with them. You might have a struggle with them, but you can no longer love them. And the more you don't love those things, the easier it's going to be to stop doing those things. Remember, there's a way before each person that seems right but ends in death. But we have that does not have to affect us. We have 100% power in Yeshua Messiah, who gives us the Holy Spirit, the Radak Kodesh, to overcome every single temptation out there in the world today. And what did Yeshua did? And what example did he set? He knew Scripture. When the enemy tried to tempt him, what did he do? He read Scripture, and the enemy fled, because the enemy can't stand the word of our Creator, and he left. And that's what we need to do. We need to develop a love affair and a love relationship with our Creator on such a high level, that we know everything about him and we know his word so well. And you know, and I take it as a compliment if somebody calls me a legalist. If I'm following the Bible so closely that people are recognize it, hallelujah. It's when people start saying, I look like them and I act like them, and they have no concern over what I'm saying about the Bible. That's when I need to worry. We need to be set apart, folks. We need to be set apart. Because the Bible calls to be set apart and not get sucked into the systems of this world today and start accepting evil as good and good as evil. We need to get it right, and we need to understand the order of our Creator. We need to understand what our Creator wants us to do, and we need to do it. We need to do it. We need to understand. I have good, sincere friends that are Christians that go to church, and they think there's no problem with breaking these deathable offenses. There's a tremendous problem with it. There's no loopholes or excuses when it comes to our Creator. There's no neutrality. You know, and people say, oh, I love your message, it's a great message and everything else, but then they go out there and they do it every single week. They defile the Sabbath. They break the commandments. They mess around with alcohol thinking, oh, it's not that dangerous. And all the other things that the Bible says not to do, they do, and they don't think there are consequences. And these are people that say they like my message. What about the people that don't like the message? And it's not my message, and it's not Moses' message. This is directly from our Creator. You know, if he says don't do something, don't do it. The fourth commandment says do not break the Sabbath, keep the Sabbath holy. That means don't work your normal job on the Sabbath. So what do people do? Oh, well, who let me slide on that one? Well, what am I supposed to do, quit my job, and my family's supposed to go without food? Do you believe our Creator? Do you have faith in our Creator that he will provide? That he just told you what to do and how to live your life, and you will be blessed and all will be well with you if you follow him. But instead, you work on the Sabbath, you ignore the holy feast days, and you go and you plan your pagan days for a whole year in advance. And then you're worried about man, your fear of bills, your fear of health insurance, and all this other stuff. And then you don't follow our Creator. Don't you think if you follow our Creator's ways, guidelines, and instructions, and you fear him instead of fearing man, you'll be at peace? And he will provide a way out of your situations. Don't the examples of Scripture mean enough to you that he could part a whole Red Sea and save millions of people from people that are chasing them? And you're worried about these little minor things like, where am I going to work if I listen? Where am I going to work? How am I going to have money if I listen to my Creator? That's in essence what you're saying when you say, well, I can't quit my job on Shabbat because I got to work the Sabbath. That's like saying, well, I can't listen to Creator because I got to work. What has more power? Who are you idolizing? You know, who's your God, your job, your paycheck, or your Creator who says don't do these things? Those of you that plan a whole year, you plan a pagan holiday a whole year in advance. And then you make an excuse that you don't have time to keep his daily, his weekly, daily, and his monthly appointments. You completely ignore what it says in the scriptures about the guidelines and instructions. Make an excuse we can't or we don't have to keep the Ten Commandments. Yes, by the grace of Yahweh and by this mercy of God that we have his grace and mercy when we mess up and we slip up. But when we make an excuse not to follow him and then things aren't going great in our life, what a shame to blame our Creator for those things, for not listening to him. And then when something goes wrong, we say it's his fault. You know, we pray for him to rescue us, but then we don't follow him. Do you know what it says in the Bible about people that don't follow me? It says, go run to your other idols. Go, let's see how they save you now. I'm not going to do anything. I will destroy you. Don't run to me now, because you didn't run to me when I gave the guidelines and instructions. You want to worship wooden statues on walls, and you want to break my guidelines and instructions on a regular basis and make a practice out of it, and then you cry to me when things are going bad? Then you pray to me to help you and heal you when things are going bad? He says he's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. So he says these things have a deathable offense. These things are something we should never do. And I'm not going to rescue you if you decide not to listen to my words. But it does go ahead and say he takes no pleasure. No pleasure. And I'm gonna change this. It says in Ezekiel 33:11, it says I take no pleasure in the death of wicked people. I'm going to correct that and give a better meaning of it. I take no pleasure in the suicide. In the suicide of wicked people, because you're killing yourself. Our Creator gives us in his hand, in our hands, the word, the Bible, that's a treasure map to treasure, to the kingdom, to eternity. And while we're here, for everything to be well with us, no fear of man, just no fear of our Creator, or no fear of man, just fear of our Creator. In one hand, we have all that. We have the peace, the comfort. We can lie down and sleep like King David. His family, his friends were coming after him to kill him, and he went down to sleep. And then we have insomnia because we're worried about man. Because we're watching all this junk on TV, and we're eating all this garbage and drugging ourselves up, and then we're worried about what man has to say, ignoring what our Creator has to say. So the Bible's on your coffee table collecting dust while you're watching some immoral thing on TV and believing it and living it, and then you're worried about what might happen in the future. And then, in the other hand, he gives us. That's what he gives us. He says he gives us. Satan entices us with the things that appease our flesh, and we run to that. We need to repent. We need to change. Okay, folks? My website is TorahLifeMinistries.org. I have a whole bunch of information on that website if you want to check that out, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And I'm a sinner just like all of you. And as my brothers and sisters out there, I plead with you, repent and understand we have a better way that we could turn, a better way that we can go. And he wants us to change. He takes no pleasure in the death of wicked people.
Come out of the world. You have been listening to Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Nisan. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to Torah Life Ministries, P.O. Box 16156, West Palm Beach, Florida 33411. And thank you for your prayers and generous support. Torah Life
Ministry. This is Rick Addison, pastor of the Grace Place Church. If it seems like life's getting more and more complex and you don't know where to find the answers, join us each weekend to discover what God says about how to really live. We meet for worship on Saturday at 6 p.m., Sunday 9 and 11 a.m., at the Grace Place, we celebrate God's grace every day.
Every day I wake up and I meet the same old fight between a world of chaos and that quiet voice inside. And my phone keeps telling me there's a million ways to find where my hope is, but it's a lie. I know who.